Yes.
Oh, I did it right. Amazing. Good evening. That's great to see so many out of here on this snowy, cold, icy day. And praise you're hungry for God. Give yourself a clap. Well, what is it? Day 13, is it, of the revivals? Is it? I think it's the day 13, day 12, day 13, something like that. And all sorts of things have been happening. And over the weeks, many have been saved and healed and backsliders restored and people filled with the joy of God. It's been wonderful. And it really has. And for our Australian friends who are watching on webcam there, there's quite a few watching from Australia. It's about 14 degrees Fahrenheit here, which is about 10, 15 Celsius below. So these people have come out tonight on a day that wasn't that good. And so they're probably roasting at 110 at the moment, Fahrenheit. All I can say is tough luck, you know. But it's good to be here tonight, and we're going to see God move again. Yeah. He'll always move on hungry hearts, friends, always. He's just like that. You know, when you, I've seen it all over the world all the time where you get hungry people. All you need is out of 50 people, 5 to 10 that are hungry for God. And you keep zeroing in on them and keep getting them filled with the Spirit. And then it starts to spread out. And before long, you got a place filling up with hungry people. And so that's just the way it is. And that's how revival breaks out. And who's not from this church? You're visiting from other churches tonight. A lot of people. And welcome. That's a sure sign. I told the local church pastor, see, not to be worried about that. Because the strange thing is, when you hold revival meetings, you only get a very small percentage of actual local church turning up, but you have a huge percentage of visitors. And you see, because God wants to break a revival out in a local church and bless that, but he wants to break out in a whole area. And so while ever there's people coming in, visitors, you know to keep it going. And it builds. It's like with the Lakeland Revival. Roy's telling me that in the end they're getting 10, 12,000 out on the weekends. But in the week, it would drop down to 3, 4, 5,000, which is still a heck of a large number. But in comparison with 10 or 12,000, that's a huge drop. Well, it's like when you have here, we have revival meetings where the place is packed and filled on the weekend. And then it might just drop 20, 30 people, 40-odd people during the week. Well, that's okay, because on percentage rates, we're getting more than Lakeland did, when you think of it that way. And so that's the way you've got to look at it. Then there is a point in revival where the thing really breaks loose. This is only the beginnings. We're just dabbling around in the ankle deep at the moment. The next level will be the glory of God coming. And when the glory hits, you'll know it when the glory hits. And when it hits, that'll be it. It'll be packed out every night. Because you just hit this realm. And once you hit it, you just keep going in it and just gets higher and higher and higher. And then it's up to leadership to scratch their heads to say, when do we stop this? Well, a bit of a silly statement. How can you? Why would you want to stop a revival, you know? Why would you want to do it? It upsets the apple cart. It throws structures out the window. But it all comes. The Holy Ghost structure comes. Everything seems to come into spiritual order. So hang in there. I was going to say, don't get your knickers in a knot. That's an Australian saying, so better not say that. But I did say it, so. So how are you all tonight? You well? Anyone go for a swim this afternoon on this lovely, warm night? I love this weather. In heaven, that's what my mansion will be. Out the front, snow fields and ski resorts. And out the back, it'll be beachfront. I put in my order already. That's what I'm having. You can have what you like. I want jet skis. I want yachts. I want fast motorbikes. And I'll fit in time with God at the throne. No, I don't think it'll be quite like that, but it's nice to have a little fantasy, isn't it, about what heaven will be like. I think it's going to blow our minds what it's really going to be like. But we're touching heaven now. You know, you can hear the sound of heaven through worship. You see, tonight was another prophetic flow. And what you do with a prophetic flow, you just get lost in it. You just, wow, you go into it. And the more you go in with it, the more clear it becomes, that sound of heaven. And what it's doing, I'm telling you what's happening in our worship the last few nights. It's not only blessing us, but it's clearing the powers and principalities over your city. Because there's heavier pressure demons over this city. And I'm not a super spook, but I realize that there are powers and principalities, and they hate worship. They hate prophetic worship, which is spontaneous singing. Songs are good, and they're great. But there's something about just entering into free flow of God. And I'm telling you, it destroys the devil's kingdom. He don't like it one bit. He doesn't. That's why many churches opt out of all that. They just like to keep it nice and comfortable and relaxed, not to offend and rock the boat. Well, you know, we're not here to rock the boat. We're here to tip the darn thing over and pour kerosene over it and light a match and destroy it. That's what we're after. Why say that? But that can't happen in a local church. Well, it does. If you're open to it, it does. Because it gets rid of all the junk in our lives. That's all God's doing. And it's an exciting thing, really. So it's really great to see you all. This is my dear wife. Just stand up, you two. My lovely wife and Whitney on the front row. This is our little family. So it's great. And we're just going to receive a love offering for our ministry tonight. And we're a faith ministry. That's the way we live. And you understand that. But I just want to just look at something in Luke chapter 19. And it's a very, very important passage of scripture in verse 28. It's to do with the beginning of the triumphal entry when Jesus came down the streets of Jerusalem and they're throwing palm branches everywhere. And he rode in and they all praised him and all that sort of stuff. Well, there were some things that Jesus wanted to happen before that main event. And in verse 28 of Luke 19, it says, "And after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt or a donkey tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him and just say, the Lord has need of it.'" Now, that's a pretty big thing. That'd be like in the modern day, a couple of Jesus' disciples coming up to your house and you've got a brand new Ferrari at the front that no one's ever ridden. And you just walk up and your keys are in the car and the owner's just doing a bit of cutting his roses, whatever, pruning them, and just says, "We're just going to take your car for a while because the Lord has need of it." It's going to have to be a pretty big man to say, "Yeah, no problem. Yeah, just bring it back when you're finished." Don't think so. But you see, the thing is that Jesus was prophetic. And he told his disciples, he didn't say, "Go and ask the man." He says, "You'll go to this certain place, you'll see a colt tied there." But you see, what won the man over, whoever the owner of that donkey was, whoever it was, he won him over by, says, they said, "Look, the Lord has need of it." So obviously, whoever he was a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who is a believer, or he was an inquirer, somebody who respected Christ anyway. Because you just don't go and just let two strangers who you've probably never met before take something that's special to you. A donkey would mean nothing to us, but it means a heck of a lot to it would if someone came up and took our car or just decided we're moving in your house because the Lord has need of it. Buzz off, you know, or something like that. But, you know, but the whole thing about this is it's for the kingdom. And in giving of offerings into ministries, friends, what it is, it's not so much that we have need of it, but the Lord has need of it for where he's taking our ministry. So what you're doing is when you give into ministries like Roy's ministry or myself or any ministry for that matter, what you're doing is when you give by faith, you're saying, "I'm a kingdom person and I believe that they're bearing good fruit on the ministry. I'm putting in my money because the Lord has need of it." How many of you realize the gospel is the most important thing, but you can't get anywhere without money? You know, God tells me to go to South Africa. You need a few thousand bucks for airfares alone for one person. And so, and then you usually have to support the people over there. So you need to go over with a lot of bucks. So where does that come from? Through the faithfulness of God's people. And so what we've got to understand is that if we just do our part, so does that mean we're obligated and committed? Well, it does actually. It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, you know, if we sow spiritual seed among you, in other words, if we give you the gifts of the Spirit, if we feed you the Word of God, and you grow spiritually and your life changes because of it, is it too much then to ask in return for a material harvest? So our material needs are looked after so we can get to the next place and the next place and the next place. And so there is an obligation from the church or people who sit under ministries to make sure that they're looked after. Not only to pay their bills and things like that, but most importantly, to get to the next place and the next place and the next place. Because if you're going to have a revival ministry, you do have to travel quite a bit. Who knows how long we're going to be here for in this particular revival? We just don't know. We're just taking it a week at a time at the moment. But you just don't know. If you're really talking about revival and you know we're going to have Kingston Fire and all this sort of thing, and then God looks down and says, okay, we'll put you to the test on this one. You really want revival? Then after 2 weeks, you just go back to normal. Jesus says, I can't trust you with a revival. You pitter out after 2 weeks. What's the matter with you? You know? And that's if there is a revival spirit in the place, which there obviously is here. And so you just keep on going. Where does it go to? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We just keep our eyes on him. And we make him famous. We come thinking, I don't care whether I'm tired. I don't care whether I think the music's too loud or too soft. I'm going to worship God. I don't give a hoot what the person next to me's thinking. I'm going to, and if God knocks me down, I'll fall down. If I feel the spirit of joy come on me, I'll laugh my jolly head off. If I feel to weep, I'll weep. If I feel to just fall on the floor and worship God or get on my bended knee, I'll do it. Don't give a hoot what anybody else thinks. If I feel I just want to go for a run around the auditorium, I'll do it. And if everybody obeys God, the glory is released. Same with giving tonight. You can make a choice, you know, I'll love you, we'll love you, and we'll still minister to you whether you give or not. I don't know who gives and who doesn't. If you're going to write out checks, just get ready. Just write them out to Vineyard Church. The Vineyard Church, then they'll give me a check at the end whenever the end is, you know, and so that'll work out good that way. But I'm telling you, friends, that when you support ministries, it's a very great thing. But see it this way. Not that Steve Smith has need of it, but the Lord has need of it. If the Lord speaks to me and says, go here, go there, then he supplies through people for me to get there. I've never had him bring an angel down from heaven to give me money, but I tell you what, I have heard him a few times release angels to gather support for me, and it's come in from the most unsuspected places. Sometimes I've gone to do big crusades and thought, wow, this is going to be a huge offering tonight, and it was worse than an offering in a church of 200. I thought, you're a stingy mob, you know, but I didn't tell them that. I thought, yeah, keep your money, go buy your mum a nice coat with it or something. Because you know, because there's a big vision in ministry. And if everybody just does their part and obey, all you got to do is obey God tonight. All you got to do is right now in your spirit, just be asking him, what do you want me to give? And you may not hear a booming voice say, $10,000. But you may just hear a small impression saying, give this much. And usually when God tells us to give something, it stretches us a little bit. When God tells me to give things over the years, it stretches me. And I remember when I went through a phase once, I had no money to give, none. So I started ripping out my brand new dishwasher that I just bought and thinking, who do you want me to give this to, God? Ain't got nothing else, so this will do. And then I gave away something else, a guitar. It was a very expensive guitar, just because I wanted to bless people. I just was genuinely going through a season many years ago as God was teaching me principles of giving and things like that and how he'd look after me. And I didn't have nothing, so I just started giving things I had. Within a week of that, someone just came up and gave me a car. I said, what? I needed a car. I didn't even ask for it. It wasn't like it was on my heart. It was just, it would have been nice to have a second car. Just gave me this really nice secondhand car. And he tuned it all up for me and he changed the oil. It was all working, great working condition when he gave it me. Just handed me. He said, you don't have to pay anything. I think I had to pay a couple of bucks for the tax of it or something. It was nothing. And so God's good and he can do this. I remember once I was at this evangelist meeting and the Lord, he so was. The Lord told me to give this large amount. It was large to me in those days, $500 he told me to give to this ministry. So I said, all right, Lord, that stretches me. That was money saved up for bills, gone. Pew. And God's often like that. You see, God's all about getting you to trust him. It's easy to say, oh yeah, we'll put a bit of ministry money in the ministry tonight. But we know we've got a heaps of money stashed away for a rainy day or for bills. And I'm not saying give that, because that would be manipulation. I'm saying if God spoke to you and said, no, I don't want you to give 10 bucks. I want you to make it a bit more than that tonight. But you know it's going to dip into something else. Now, that's your trust in God then. If he's telling you, not me, but if he's telling you, if I'm telling you that, keep your money, I'm manipulating you. But if he's telling you that, well, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't you think he can give you back more than what you're looking for? 500 bucks I gave away, and I thought, oh, you beauty. I'm believing for 30-fold on that. Not 30%, 30-fold. 30-fold, oh, 500 bucks is a lot of money. It's over 100 grand. So I thought, this is going to be great. And so I was happy. And about 6 weeks later, I was at this crusade. This youth convention that I was the guest speaker at. And the worship leader was Darlene Check of Hillsong. All right, so those wonderful songs. She's playing the piano for me in those days at this crusade, because I was friends with all those guys in those days. So they're still friends now, but time and distance, you don't see much of each other. And I noticed I've always moved pretty powerful in a word of knowledge gift, but I got this word of knowledge gift that's so accurate and so specific, which is still there to this day when there's an anointing there for it. Where I said, hey, there's a young couple in here. You're married now, but 18 months ago, you slept together. And you had an incredible missions call on your life, but you felt that because you blew it and slept together before you married, that you're just sitting around in church and you feel like you can never be used by God because of that sin. I said, that's a bunch of rubbish. God's just lifting up that condemnation now. He forgave you the very second that you repented of it within days of you just falling morally. And I said, it's okay. And that words of knowledge like that were coming out. I said, God, I haven't been really fasting and praying. I've had a busy schedule. How come I'm getting this word of knowledge? And other things were happening where I noticed I just ministered to people and people were seeing the power of God coming out of me. And I just walked to people, and when I got near them, bang, down they'd go under the power. So I'm thinking while I'm moving in this realm, thinking, because I usually have to fast and pray to get that sort of stuff. And he said, I remember 6 weeks ago when you gave that ministry $500, I'm rewarding you with these gifts. And I thought, I don't want gifts. I want money. I got to buy motorbikes. I've got to get a nice car. I got airfares to travel the world. It's funny how we debate with the Lord. But he said, but that gift I've given you will take you around the world and you'll see hundreds and eventually thousands released because of that. So I know if you sow an apple, you'll get an apple tree. But in the kingdom of God, you know, you do produce after your own kind. If you sow a seed of money, you usually 99% of the time get money back. But sometimes the Lord will bless you back with far more heavenly treasures of power. Who cares? Who cares if he's going to better for you? So I don't know what he'll do for you. All I know is if you give to the kingdom of God, if your need is money, he'll give you more than you can get back. If you just give by faith according to an impression in your heart. I said, well, I don't know if he'll speak to you, but he will. He will. People tell me, I would have given to you a ministry tonight, Steve. One guy said, I actually had $1,000, but the Lord didn't tell me to give it to you. But I actually had it in my pocket to give it to you. And I looked at him and said, you're an idiot, sir. I said, I don't want your money now. You've told me that. But you're an idiot. I said, the Lord already told you to give me that. You just told me that. But because we asked you to seek him in the meeting, you said he didn't speak to you, but you'd already planned to give that. I said, go away. And maybe I was a bit rude, but that was last week, wasn't this week. But some people, they just say idiotic things, you know. And, all I say is get the impression of the Holy Ghost, give, and when you do it cheerfully. And God will bless you and he will honor you. He really will. And so just get ready to give. If I could have the ushers come forward, that'd be great. The Lord has need of it. Just before you start giving, just close your eyes and just in your own hearts, ask the Lord, what do you want me to put into this ministry tonight, Lord? What do you want me to put in? Some of you were hoping I wouldn't say that, so you put it in before you'd have to ask him. Which proves we get convicted because we know he'd tell us to give more. Or he might tell you to keep your money and give it to your local church. Who knows? Who cares? Just obey God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we promise you as a family here, sure, myself and Whitney, that what comes in and these offerings, we'll use it for the kingdom of God. We know we've got needs and all that sort of thing, Lord Jesus, and obviously we have to buy clothes and pay bills and all that sort of thing. But God, we promise you that what comes in is for the kingdom, and we'll give out a percentage of what comes into us to wherever you want us to give that. So it just goes round and round and keeps the kingdom of God growing. Thank you for these wonderful people in Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead and give. Thanks so much.
Moses stood on a mountain, waiting for you to pass by. Put your hand over his face, so in your presence he wouldn't die. All Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. David knew there was something more than just the ark of your presence. In a manger, the baby was born, among kings and peasants. All Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face, and I'll gird up my legs. I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. I can just see your face. I will make it to the end. If I could just see your face.
Did it. God's good.
all the time. God is good. Flat it like a herd of turtles. It's wonderful. Golly.
That's not how you talk. They talk a lot more like that down south, don't they? Well, Job chapter 29. Job. Yeah, Job. What a name, Job. But I just want to talk about the revival fire tonight, of how it comes. I believe in moving in the revival fire, but I also believe in giving a bit of instruction from the Bible so the whole thing doesn't go out of whack and into extremes as revival power and glory and fire keep coming. You need to be able to say to people when they ask you, well, what's this, all this revival about? Well, people laugh. Well, why do they laugh? Well, to have a good time. But what? You should know why God is causing people to laugh. Well, he's wanting to heal them. He's wanting to set them free. He's wanting to loosen them up. You know, why does God bring joy? Because people need strength of God in their life. You need to be able to give people an answer, a biblical answer for what's happening. Otherwise, you could be on the verge. You don't always know what God is doing, but the stuff you do know, you've got to be able to biblically explain it in your way that comes through your gift and your life. Otherwise, what's the point? If there's unsaved in a meeting, they say, why are these people laughing? You should be able to just give them a two-second answer to comfort their mind. Then, hey, it's okay. It's God just touching people. That's okay. And that's a good thing. All right. It's all right. Let it out. It's okay. It's like doing a good belch. You've just got to let it out. All right, Job chapter 29, which I've said about 50 times, verse 6. It's okay, I'm quite normal, friends. I was asked once to speak to 100 slow learners who were all in this psych ward, and they all came into this hall together, and they're all sitting there, and they looked very spaced out, actually. Didn't look with it at all. I guess that's why they were there. And someone jumped up and said, and why are we all here? And someone else jumped up and said, because we're not all there. It didn't really happen, but it's a good joke anyway. But in Job 29, verse 6, it says, when my path was drenched with cream. This is Job talking about the prosperity that God put in his life. That when my path was drenched with cream, in other words, obviously he had a lot of goats and he had a lot of cattle and cows and he got a lot of cream, obviously, especially from the cows and things like that, or be able to make cheeses from the goats and things like that. He was in abundance. He says, when my pathway was filled with cream, which meant he was a very prosperous, wealthy man. And he says, and when the rock poured out for me rivers of oil. When the rock poured out for me, the NIV says streams of olive oil, but the King James has got it right. It says, and the rock poured out rivers of oil. So here is Job. He's experiencing that in his pathway, it was filled with prosperity. Cream speaks of fatness. The anointing speaks of fatness, being blessed, having plenty. But he also, it says that on his, the rock poured out rivers of oil. Now we know that Jesus is the rock, Christ Jesus. He's the rock. Remember when Moses struck the rock and water poured out, speaking of the rivers of living water. But you know, we also got to understand here, in this rock that Job was talking about, out came it rivers of oil. Oil is always symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And what Job was saying is, if you're going to walk in the righteousness of God, if you're going to walk in right relationship with God, then you're going to have fatness and anointing and prosperity all around you. And out from your innermost being will flow rivers of oil. Oil of the Holy Ghost. Oil of the anointing that will heal people and love on people and set people free and bless people and build them up. That's the promise to every believer here. It's not just for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's for everybody in the body of Christ. And all we've got to do is believe it and walk in it. Because you say, oh, I don't really know about that. Well, it's never happened to me. Well, it's like asking somebody, you know, well, You know, well, I've never seen a deaf ear open. Well, how many have you prayed for? I've never seen anybody healed of cancer. How many cancer patients you prayed for? None. So no wonder you haven't seen anything, you silly person, you. You know, and so we just got to understand that we've got to reach out by faith for these things. If the Bible tells me that I can walk in prosperity, and if I, through my righteousness, and the Bible tells me that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, that we have the mind of Christ. And so when we begin to believe what the Bible says about us and not what the devil says about us, then our lives will begin to be adjusted to who we are in the Spirit. Too many of us walk around and we're thinking, until I get this right, until I get that right, until I get this right, until I get that right, I can never be used by God. Rubbish. Go and do what God wants you to do. And if there's areas of your life that need adjusting, He will adjust you. And body of Christ, get out of each other's way for God's sake. Stop trying to think that you are the judge and jury to somebody's life. The Bible says it's the kindness, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So if there's areas in people's lives that you can see could be better, you're better off just loving them and showing them mercy and only speaking into their life if God tells you to. Rest of the time, shut up and show kindness and God will deal. So we just got to move forward in the things of God, in the prosperity of God, because He wants our lives to be filled with His prosperity and filled because out of His rock will flow rivers of oil. Not only rivers of living water, but rivers of oil. That's pretty cool. Turn to the person next to you and say, rivers of oil, which means tons and tons of anointing. Look at someone in the eye and say, I am anointed. I've been touched for a task. I've got the power of God in me for a purpose. Okay, over to back to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, verse 21. In Job chapter 8, verse 21, it says, He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Your enemies will be clothed in shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no more. You listen to that. He says, He will fill your mouth with laughter. So it's not just some emotional thing, even though it is emotional to laugh. It's been triggered off by a spiritual, and you're reacting or responding to the Holy Ghost, like some of you are doing now. And if you all open up, it'll hit the whole place. He will fill your mouth with laughter. Who's He? God. Jesus Himself will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Then your enemies will be clothed in shame. Those who speak against you, those who backbite, you just love them and keep on laughing and keep on shouting in the joy of God. Your enemies will be clothed with shame and the tents of the wicked will be no more. They'll just move on. They'll go. They'll just pack up and go. This is all the prosperity of the righteous, friends. It's so true. In verse 10 of chapter 9 of Job, it says, He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. What about Jesus in the last book of John? It says, my goodness, there's so many miracles and there's so many things Jesus did that I suppose all the books in the world wouldn't be able to contain what He did. In 3.5 years of ministry, what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John is probably that much of what He really did on planet Earth. So many miracles, He says, every book wouldn't be able to, you could fill every book in the whole world. Now, the world didn't have as many people back there as now, but He still must have done a heck of a lot of miracles, more than what was ever recorded in 3.5 years of ministry. Yet He will fill your mouth with laughter. I want you all to say it after me. He'll fill my mouth with laughter. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he. Very simple. And your lips with shouts of joy. Why? So your enemies will be clothed in shame and the tents of the wicked will be no more. So if you want the enemy be defeated in your life, laugh your way through it. If you're in debt, laugh yourself out of it. If you've got sickness and disease in your body or your family, laugh yourself out of it. Because the enemy will have to pack up his tent and go. Do we believe the word of God or don't we? I believe this is the inspired word of God, and what God says he will do. He's faithful to perform his word. All right, Psalm 126. Don't get too excited on me. We're in church. You've got to be dignified. He's going for it. He sounds like a hyena, him. Some people, when the joy comes on them, they sound like ferrets. It's exciting. You might sit there all prune faced and say, "This can't be God. You just told a few jokes and everybody laughed." Don't insult people's intelligence. If this sort of laughter comes out from me just telling a joke, I must be the greatest comedian in the world. Who is that? Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. Psalm 126, it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, people were in bondage. People were absolutely held captive in their life. But when the Lord led the captives back to Zion, Zion's talking about the church, the kingdom of God. It's talking about the kingdom of God that's full of righteousness, joy, and peace in his kingdom, full of the anointing, full of the power of God. When the Lord brings people out of bondage into his marvelous light, we were like men that dreamed, because Jesus actually set you free. You're no longer addicted. You're no longer bound. You're no longer full of bitterness. You're no longer full of pain. We were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Here we go again. Everybody say, our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then he said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. What it's talking about, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. But look at it. What were the great things? He broke them free from their bondage and their sin, brought them into Zion, the kingdom of God. And because of that, their mouths were filled with laughter. Mouths filled with laughter, tongues with songs of joy. And because everybody was laughing and full of joy, it was sit around all the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. People look at laughter and know these sort of meetings and say, what a bunch of rubbish. But you've got to see what God's doing. God is loosening people up. In fact, there's another scripture that says that God sits in the heavens and laughs at the enemy. Where did you get your laughing from? You've got the same DNA as God. He's probably having a good old cackle, him and Jesus, right now. I'm convinced this is how Jesus used to minister when he was on earth. He didn't walk around with his 12 disciples behind him, throwing holy water on people. Yes, bless you, my child. I'm not knocking Catholics. Catholics are beautiful people. But that religious spirit's ridiculous. He was so relaxed and so jovial that children would come and sit on his knee. The way that religion has pictured Jesus is not the way he really is. He was something like we're seeing now. And just like Jesus' day, who were the only people that reacted to Jesus? The church of his day. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, the ones who knew the ways of God. A bunch of idiots. Jesus said, you're full of, like a whitewashed sepulchre, you're full of dead men's bones. You look good on the outside, but inside you're unclean. So God uses all this stuff that we're seeing in these meetings to clean us all out so they get a people on fire for God. And so they'll say among the nations, the Lord has done great things. What great things? He's setting people free and filling them with joy and laughter. We just read it. Sorry, I'm being a bit loud tonight. I'm normally a very quiet speaker. I usually stand up here and go, yes, it is Psalm 25, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. It says the Lord has done great things for them. Then it says the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. As God begins to set you free, if you're not filled with joy, you weren't really free. Simple as that. When anybody was healed in the Bible, they would come into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because they were once blind, they were once crippled, but now they could walk, now they could see, now they were delivered from demons, now they were filled with joy. Interesting, when Peter and John got into trouble for going past a man at Gate Beautiful for their time of prayer, they went there every day, but this time this man was laying there, had been crippled from birth, and they said, he begged for alms, begged for money. And they said, well, silver and gold we haven't got on us, mate. That's the Aussie disciples. But such as we have in our hearts, we give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of your crippled condition and walk. And the man looked at him stunned. So Peter got his arm and lifted him up. And immediately his ankles were strengthened. Then they got into trouble for doing that. But they said, these men, they took note as that them having been with Jesus. There's something about their countenance. I don't believe they were sitting there like two old-fashioned prophets saying, yea, verily, we rebuke thee. We just healed a man in the name of the Lord, 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 Lord. They took note. That means they were like Jesus. They're probably having a good old cackle amongst these religious faggots who are just all, these religious people. Is that a rude word over here? Sorry. Some of the language cultures. But religious people. I'll tell you something. That would have been full of joy. Listen, one time, another time, the same two were brought before the council again, and to save face, they flogged them, which is the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, whoosh, ripping chunks of flesh out. And it says they came out full of joy, being counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. What does it mean they're full of joy? They're laughing their heads off. When you're in incredible pain like that, and half your back's missing, half your flesh is ripped off, and you just are laughing, you're either a complete idiot or the Holy Ghost is on you. These guys were filled with joy, friends. What about when Philip went into Samaria in Acts chapter 8? It's probably about 10 years into the revival that was happening. They had the revival and the hog and the show in Jerusalem, and God said, I told you to start off in Jerusalem and then spread out to the world. So God calls the persecution, and some of the guys stayed in Jerusalem, but the most of the people and the evangelists were spread out through persecution, and Philip ended up in a town in Samaria. I believe it was the same town that missed out on Jesus in his earthly ministry because they refused to have him because he was going to Jerusalem, and they had no dealings with Jews. So Jesus said, I can't change my mind. I've got to go to Jerusalem. If you can't take that, boys, you miss out. But that same town, whole town was converted. It says that Philip, the evangelist, he preached Christ to them. And as he preached, demons came out of many people and people were healed. And it says the whole city was filled with joy. The whole city was filled with laughter. People say, well, I've got joy. If you've got joy, friends, it bubbles out of you. And it does end up manifesting in laughter. And so we've got to see this stuff. Whole city came to Christ. And they were all filled with joy because of the miracles they were seeing. That's pretty phenomenal. You're like these two here, just cackling their heads off. And the rest of the religious people saying, this is undignified. This is not the Lord. Who's the biggest opposers of revivals today? Christians. Mainly Pentecostal Christians. When they find out about this, they'll be attacking it right, left, and center. Bring it on. Bring the whole thing on. We'll smack that religious sucker right in the face. I mean the devil, not them. I wouldn't mind having a go at them. No. But got to smack that religious devil in the face. What are you going to that revival for? Because it's changing my life. What about you, knucklehead? No, what about you, brother? Don't back off. When people say, we don't believe it's God, you got to look at them in love and say, I don't give a rat's what you think, man. Or however you say it in America. I don't care what you think. That's more like Gomer Pyle, isn't it? I don't know how you guys talk. It's weird. I just said to God, Lord, if I'm moving to America, please don't let me lose my Aussie accent, please. Please. You're beautiful people, but I want to keep my language. I'll have to do a few trips a year to Australia just to keep. I often ring up my family in Australia just to hear an Australian voice. I say, say that again. Oh, I'm starting to talk like an American. Yeah, it's not that. It's, yeah, that's it. Just having a joke with you, but I'm being truthful. Like if you came to Australia, you wouldn't want to walk around talking like an Aussie, would you? Some of you might. Nothing worse than an American trying to talk like an Australian. Roy does it and he sounds like a Londoner, a British person. Well, she thought it was funny. The Lord has done great things for us and we're filled with joy. Then it says, restore our fortunes. How many here would like your fortunes restoring? Well, get into the joy of God. Get into being free. Get into serving God and His kingdom. And the Bible guarantees your fortunes are coming to you. Your prosperity is coming. Oh Lord, like streams of the Negev, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. How many of you have gone through painful experiences and sowed in tears? Three of you, wonderful. Every hand would go up. My hand would go up too. But those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Sowing tears is only for a little season. But the end result is you reap. That's interesting. You sow in tears, but you reap songs of joy. You sow in tears and reap songs of joy. Powerful. Here goes about weeping and carrying seed to sow. We feel like that every time an offering's been given. Oh, no, not more money. Oh, God. We do. I'm like that. I usually leave my off wallet. I forget it, leave it in the motel before I go to a conference. Because I know I'll put everything I've got in the wallet in the offering. And if I don't, my wife will make sure it does go in. So I think, oh, well, God, if I haven't got it, then it's all right. It's not, because I've just got to put more in double the next night. We all try our little tricks. And I sit there thinking, oh, another teaching offering. Here we go again. And, you know, because that's what happens. Because we go about weeping. We're carrying seed to sow. How many of you know it hurts to sow seed? Every time you give your tithes, the offerings to your local church, you give in a ministries like mine, it hurts. That money could be used for something else, or it probably was set aside for something else, and it hurts. But you sow in tears, you will return with songs of joy. Why? Because God will fill up your bank accounts. That's why. He'll open up work for you. He'll give you creative ideas. The power of God will come upon you. You'll return with songs of joy, carrying your sheaves with you. Wow. This is all the Word of God, friends. That's why you're clapping and getting excited. Too many preachers, they're preachers of gloom and doom. Yeah. It's gloom and doom. They think it's their right to tell everybody what rotten scumbags they are. Hey, listen, I was like that in the 80s. God put this prophetic anointing on me and I was operating it wrongly. For 5 years, I was invited everywhere as a prophet. I would walk up and down the aisles and smell sin. I'd look here and I'd say, there's nobody sitting just there. Fourth row in, you're homosexual, get out the front. And a guy would be sitting there with his wife and three kids. I come to this and say, you there, you're sleeping with that woman over there who's the women's leader of a such and such a church. I used to get accurate details and I was right every time. People would run out the front screaming and repenting. And I'd say, anyone else who's got sin in your life, you better get at the front now. God will expose you publicly. And I used to see whole churches join hands and get on their knees repenting. Then I used to see angels walk among the crowd with these eyes. I'd see angels walking around and they'd all have these big boards with them and they'd be writing. then they put this placard over someone's head, and I'd see their sin. And so I'd say, you're committing this sin and that sin. It was easy because the angels just would write them on these placards and I'd just watch it all. But you know, after 5 years of that, I backslid. Can you believe that? I used to sit on the church platform in those days. It was the big thing for the pastors. Remember that, Wendy? You'd all sit on the platform like big heroes. And, you know, we got to see our people. No, you just wanted to be noticed. That's what it was. That's why a lot of guys like to come into a meeting when it started. So they walk down the aisle, everyone's watching him come in. Oh, the man of God. Why can't we just stay and worship with everybody else? Anyway, that's just my little thing. Don't, if you ever get guest ministers through, do that. That's probably their thing with God. But I think you should be with the people. I really do, as much as you can. The only time I come into a meeting late is if I really feel I've just got to be in it by myself to get my thoughts together for the meeting. That's the only reason. But you know, we've got to get rid of this big shot mentality. I hate it. And I just sit on this platform and I see all these sins of the people and I think, oh. And I used to say, God, how can you love these people? They're all full of pornography and they're full of this and they're full of... I would see it in people. I'd go to shake hands with pastors of fairly large congregations when I had this anointing of the prophet on me. And I'd shake hands with them. And they would use the F word at me and wiggle on the floor like a snake as demons were coming out of them. Right in front of their congregation. I thought, oh my God. You know. And after about 5 years, I said, that's enough. I'm going back to the evangelist anointing. It's easy. Everybody likes me when I'm an evangelist. I said, you can stick that prophetic mantle. I don't know why he didn't call down fire from heaven and consume me. I used to get rocks and throw them at God and say, what'd you give me this ministry for? Thank God for his mercy. But I was just abusing the gift he gave me, and I had nobody to teach me. I hit this level in God that was way beyond my years. And I'm sure that's why I went through a few failures, because I had nobody there to mentor and teach me. That's why everything I've got now, I know that I've got to get older young people, and young people younger than me, maybe in the spirit younger than me, might be older than me. And I've got to train them up in these ways. Because if you're not trained properly in the spirit, you can get so disillusioned. How many young men do I know have gone on missions trips and seen incredible power? They've come back to the local churches, and within 3 weeks, they're totally backslidden on drugs. And people say, they weren't really a Christian. Yes, they were. They didn't know how to contain the power, and coming back into reality, they didn't know how to handle it. Someone's got to tell them how to handle it. I can tell you how to handle it through my failures, actual and costly experience, but so you don't have to go through the same pitfalls. I should be miles ahead than where I am right now. I should be. I should be miles ahead in ministry. I should be packing out stadiums by now because I was almost doing that in the 80s. But I got messed up in things I shouldn't have got messed up in. And sure, I was restored and was out of ministry for years. I was getting restored, and this is a long time ago now. But I'll tell you, I've wasted a lot of years, and thank God for his mercy and grace. It's all coming back around now. Those things will still happen. But I'll tell you, wasted a lot of years, and maybe I can just help some of you not to go in the same pitfalls. One thing I have got on my life is a strong impartation ministry. I'm known for it all over the world, and I say that to brag on God, not me. But every minister who meets me says, more than a healing evangelist or his worship, he's got a strong impartation. When he lays hands on you, you can feel something going into you. And it's because of all the crap I've been through in my life. Because I had to come... And I'm only being rebuilt right now. Nowhere near operating where I should be. But I'm getting back there. So don't look at me and think, oh, because you bring revivals, you must be this awesome man of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Steve Smith. Uh-oh, don't think so. But I do have a lot of integrity in my heart, and I do love God with all my heart. And I do believe we have to learn to live out of the righteousness of God in Christ. I really do. Save yourself some pitfalls. Got away from the message a bit, but these revival meetings, it's hard just to preach a sermon. You get some good sermons in your churches from your pastors. I've just got to flow with God. So I touch this and I touch that and I touch that because I know it's going into people. Some things won't touch you what I say, but it'll touch the person next to you. Other things, everybody imbibes. It gets into their heart. There's a marvelous, 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 marvelous God. He's such a God of mercy and grace. If you've got any judgment in your heart, ask God to get rid of it because it'll get you nowhere. Err on the side of grace than judgment and mercy any day. What does mercy mean? It means if you come into contact with someone who's not living for God right, without you even mentioning it to them and letting them be aware of it, they already know what they're into. You get into their world and you don't do what they do, but you love them where they're at, and the mercy of God goes into their world and brings them out into their fullness, what they have in Christ. And they don't even, you were just their friend. They didn't know what you were doing. That's mercy. We need a whole thousands of people all around Kingston who will do that. Kingston who will do that. Not judgmental people. You talk about revival. What would you do if four gay couples walked in here tomorrow night or Tuesday night and they all sat at the back holding hands? Would you tell them to get lost? I know a lot of churches that would. Don't let our kids near them. Now, you got to believe that as that anointing touches them, he'll change them. Of course he will. I'm not talking about accepting sin. But I'm talking about friends. I've had couples that were in de facto and things, and they lived de facto for a few months into the church. And my leaders would get a bit worried. I said, what are you worried for? Goodness me, they've got four kids. They've been together for 5, 10, 15 years, some of them. God will convict them, don't you worry. We're not going to put them on leadership. We can't do that. But they're welcome in this church. They're welcome to participate in worship and praise. They said, oh, we don't think so. I said, yeah, but you'll take their money, won't you? I said, they're a child of God just like we are. But it would be stupid to put them in leadership, not just because they'd be a bad example. They're probably a better example in their lifestyle than most married couples. But because the spiritual power that will attack them with an area of their life that's not quite right, you'd end up destroying them. That's why you don't put people in leadership. Not because their lives aren't right. Well, it is. But listen, I'm just exaggerating something here. Just to let you see, God will deal with people. And every time, within a few months to a year, those couples will come to me and say, Steve, we just feel for us to move to the next step in God, we got to get married. We feel like we are married, but we got to legally do it. I said, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do it. Let God do it with people. I used to tell my people, don't you dare go and tell people you should get out of your de facto and get married now. You'll scare them right off before God has time to deal with them. Mind your own business. Just love them. Don't tell them it's all right. Just don't bring up the subject unless they bring it up. That's different. That's what you got to do, friends. Why do I talk this way? Because there's a lot of those sort of people in Kingston. And if we're going to be the church, it's all right. Well, we're just getting Christians, because that's what happens at the beginning of a revival. It's just Christians, because revival is for the Christian. There's nothing to revive in an unsaved person. So God has to clear out all our spiritual cobwebs, get us on fire so we can reach the lost with all their problems, and we just love them through. And them getting actively involved in a local church, being exposed to worship corporately, being exposed to the Word of God, eventually begins to wash them clean. But how many of you were squeaky clean when you first came to Jesus? Well, bless God, I just was a devil one day, and the next minute I was completely free and completely like Jesus. Hey, Jesus can do that. I've heard of people that he's done that to, but most people get genuinely saved, but they've still got a bit of baggage there that needs to be dealt with. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Most Christians walk around, well, can I lose my salvation? There's only one way you can lose your salvation, if you reject Christ as your Savior. And you say, I don't believe it. It's a lot of rubbish. Walk away from it. Just because you go through a hard time, you will not lose your salvation. You think about it. If Jesus was coming back in, say, tomorrow, no one knows the hour of that, but suppose he was coming back tomorrow, and that was it. This time, as we know, it's over. How many people would have just gotten saved through ministries all over the world? People would have just come out of prostitution. They've just come out of homosexuality. They've all just come to Jesus, some just 5 minutes before Jesus comes. Do you think their act is totally together? Tell me, are they going to go to hell because they haven't overcome some things in their life? Some holiness people think that's what they would do. It's a false doctrine. There's only one way a person will not get into heaven. It's through rejecting Christ as Savior. That is blasphemy in the Holy Ghost. There's only one way a Christian cannot make it to heaven. Not if they backslide. Listen, I backslid for 3 years. And I slept around. I was living with women. I was challenging the biggest guys coming out of pubs to see if I could get my 1-inch punching like a, because I was taught pretty heavy in martial arts, yet I still sought God 3 hours every day. Even though I wasn't living for him, I loved him with all my heart. Figure that one out. And while I was backslidden and smoking and drinking, I got so many drug addicts and so many in the mafia saved, I had to start a church because I couldn't fit them all in the house. So here's me with 80 to 100 people every week up there telling them about Christ, saying, I'm not living for Jesus, but I'll tell you about him. While I got a cigarette puffing away, can you imagine it? Now, it wasn't right, but God used all that. What I'm trying to say to you, friend, if Jesus would have come back there, even though my life wasn't right, I still would have gone to heaven because I never denied Christ as Savior. And some of you are battling with that already. I can feel it. It's just a religious devil. That's all it is. It's wrong theology you've been taught. Perfectionism. Now, should we have integrity? Of course we should. Should we live in a life of example in Jesus? Of course we should. But there's a lot of people out there, friends, because of what I've been through, it's changed a lot of what I believed. I still believe in integrity, totally. I still believe we should live for Jesus, and I still believe that we should be a good testimony to the world by the way we live. I believe all of that. But don't go judging someone and saying, well, they'll go to hell. How do you know who's going to go to hell and heaven? Are you God? Of course you're not. You're going to go to heaven and think, boy, what are you doing here? I thought you'd be the first to hell. I'm convinced God's a lot more gracious and he's a lot more father-hearted than we would ever imagine. I'm convinced of it. Am I preaching a sloppy grace? Not at all. I'm saying God is a lot more gracious than what we ever would think. Why do a lot of people stay away from God? It's because we've been presenting God wrong. And people think they have to get their act together, they have to get their life together to come to church just to be accepted. And we say, well, that's not right, but that's the air we give off. I'm not necessarily saying you people, but in the church generally. It's got to change, friends. And what changes all this sort of stuff? Revival. That's what changes it. Good old-fashioned revival. Where people's hearts get so on fire for God, you fall so much in love with him, it just spills out then onto people. You see, an unsaved person can't get revived. There's nothing to revive. They haven't got Christ in them. Revival is for the church. So we get revived and come back to our first love in Jesus, which spills out to evangelism. That's the way it works. So just be open to God. Be open for him to flow through you. Be open for him just to touch you. Because he wants to fill your mouths with laughter. He wants to fill our lives with joy. He really does. And the enemy's back will be broken when we just give in to him. Poor old person, you're having a good yawn there. It's good. It's very good. Do it again. I thought you were going to swallow your face there for a minute. All I saw was this mouth. I thought, what is that? I'm just teasing you. What a mighty God. Everyone say yabba dabba doo. Fred Flintstone doctrine. Better than Porky Pig. No, don't get me started. Yabba dabba yeah. Mr. Smiley, could you come? I just want to minister to you. And then this one. No. You just went like that. Yes. Is that your wife next to you? Come, Miss Wife. Come, helpers. God just wants to touch you with his power. Just begin to see God's presence all over your life, sir. Both of you, just lift your hands. Just close your eyes. And Jesus, I ask you to touch them with your power. Touch them with the glory right now. Oh, there goes the breath of God. Thank you for this wonderful man. Whew. Can you feel that? That's the presence of Almighty God. Just let it go right through you. Just open your soul a bit more. Just open your soul. Thank you for this man, Jesus.
Far out. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
That's right. They're getting it now.
Fire of God. Just touch this man. Now, get out of your head. You're too worried about falling down. I can feel it. I'm not trying to get you on the ground. I'm trying to get you to open right up and receive. Because God wants to fill you with his glory. He wants to fill you with his revival fire. That's what he's wanting to do. And I'm just wanting it to go straight into your body. Drop down into your heart right now. Right there in the kingdom of God is in your heart. Because that's what he's dealing with right now. You're going to be a man who teaches the principles of God's word. You're going to be a man who will lead people into the things of the Spirit and things of God. But you've got to let it touch you for that to happen. There it is. It's coming now. Oof. God. You're going to be a man who's going to be a teacher. I can feel it. Jesus' mighty name. Right now. That's right. Get out of your head into your heart again. I don't know a lot of things, friends, but I do know how to get somebody to receive. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to show this man up at all. He's a good man. But Americans, like Australians, are good at giving, but they're not too good at receiving. It takes a while for it to go through them. Mm. Now he's really getting it now. Please just forget about everything else. Just let it go through you. Because the bottleneck's in my hand, you see. The anointing goes into me and comes back into my hand, which means you're partially receiving. I want you to get the lot tonight. The lot! Oof. Gosh. Now, if you talk to him after, he'll tell you he felt the power of God. He wasn't manipulated to fall down. But some people, for whatever reason, they're just not as open as others. Some of you would receive that straight away. But to be a minister of the gospel, you've got to learn how to get it into people who are great people, but they don't know how to receive. He wasn't resisting anything. He wasn't resisting a thing. He's a good man. But some people just don't know how to receive. You say receive, they, what? Because we're all taught to give. Not many people know how to receive. Some of you new wine drinkers in the Holy Ghost know how to receive. And that's what revival does. It opens everybody up. It's not about just giving. To give out something, you've got to receive it into you first. That's what it's all about. Yes. Mrs. Spectacles with a red jacket, could you come? Thank you. So I don't know your name, so I've just got to pick on something you're wearing or... God's going to touch you. You've got a big job to do for God, lady. A big job. You've got so many people God's just wanting you to minister to. Just come before this. Just lift your hands and God just wants to absolutely fill you with his glory right now. And fill you with his power. And just forget about everything. Just let it all go and just let it receive from God. Because he just wants to put something so deep on the inside of you that's going to give out to a lot of people. And just let the whole glory just flow through you. Just let him flow through you. I can feel it all around you. That's that glory, that realm of his presence. It's all over you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Manga levishtis to come. Just stretch your hands towards her and ask God to absolutely fill her, fully intoxicate her in Jesus' name. He's doing a whole lot of things in her heart right now in Jesus' mighty name. That incredible fire of God, I just take it from that realm and I just put it on you right now in Jesus' name. I feel like a Chinaman, got a Chinese tongue. Jesus, touch him. Touch, 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 touch. Let it go, let it go. Let the power of God just go through it. Let the power of God just go through her. Let the power of God just go through her. He said, you were pushing her down. No, I wasn't. I must admit on video, it looks like I am, but I've hardly got my hand on her. It looks like I'm, you will go down whether you like it or not. Sometimes I watch myself on video, I think, oh my God. It's like a freak show. Well, because you just got this power on the inside of you, and my job's to get it out of me into them. Sometimes you've got to click your hands to get it loose, or you've got to blow, or you've got to do something, or blow a fuse, you know. Hit them with a microphone. Throw a brick, whatever. Just get the job done. No, don't really throw a brick. Mm.
Oh, God, God Almighty, thank you, Jesus. Hey, would you come, sir, in the blue shirt there? I think it's blue. You're a nice man who's about to be absolutely bowled over by the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because God's got a huge job for you to do. You think to yourself, oh, don't talk like that to me. I've lived a long life and I've worked hard. I'm ready for retiring and I just want to do this and do that. Well, do all that, but I'm telling you, God's got a big job for you to do. You might say, you don't know the insecurities I've got. You don't know how I feel about myself. I don't think that much of myself at all. You're telling me God's going to use me? Yes, I am. Just lift your hands, sir. You're going to experience God. You ready for it? You want it? You're going to experience it. Now let him go right through you. That's the way. Let it go right through you. Whew. Some people just don't realize how good they are in God. They don't realize how much God loves them. They really don't realize that. Well, God's power is coming into you right now, sir. Let it go through you. Let it go through you. Filled with a... You better take it or so I'm going to go down. Jesus. One of these days, I'm sure I'll miss and hit someone on the head. Oh, there he goes. But every time I'm doing that, seriously, I can feel this. It's like in the spirit, just power going out of my hand. Sometimes it frustrates. I got so frustrated one night, I just whacked a guy full in the head. I thought, just darn, we'll receive it. And he got it, but I overstepped the boundaries. I was in this crusade once, seriously, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I was, if you're a minister, you'll know what I'm talking about. I was filled with such power, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know whether to say. I didn't know what to do. I was so filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was walking around. I thought I was going to blow a fuse. And I looked like a bear with a sore head. And all of a sudden, I just looked at the congregation and said, Jesus! And 90% of them all fell down. I thought, oh, thank God, you know. Got that out of me. Like having severe constipation, you've just got to get it out of you. Sorry, but that's how the anointing is sometimes. It builds up and builds up. If you don't get rid of it, if I can convince you it's easy to tap into, then you'll do it. That's why I try and make it very casual. Oh, these three here, you're a family, obviously. Would you come? Why do you just call certain people out? Why don't you call me out? Well, just put a sign on you just there. Please call me out. And on. Honestly, I endeavor to be led by the Spirit. Am I right every time? I don't know. But I just get this unction. I just look at someone like, oh, that's it. Oh, Mrs. Greeny, come out here for a minute. Oh, just receive. I need a helper. Get me out. Just stand there. Just go back a bit. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It's all over the place. Now lift your hands and the power of God just goes through you. There it is. Now stay on the floor, for goodness sake, until the power of God lifts off you. What's the point in falling down and jumping up straight away? You just cut out and negate what God's just done. Now sometimes you're only down there for a few seconds. But other people, sometimes they're out for a while because God's dealing with your heart. If you listen to him, he's speaking to you right now as you're down there. What are these people? Oh, that's right, I called them out, yeah. Just join hands lightly. He's gonna knock you to... No, he's going to bless you as a family. Just hold hands very lightly. Lift your hands and say, please, Jesus, touch me. You're about to have a breakthrough in your family and finances. You're about to have a breakthrough in your life. You know, you've been struggling with debt, and it's all going to change very rapidly, very, very rapidly. I would love to tell you how, but I don't know how, so I'm not going to prophesy in the flesh. But it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, give the Lord a hand for that. He's a good God. That's right. If you feel the laugh, just let it out. How you doing there, sir? You look like you've just had a few pints sitting down there. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Hey, you can come out here too. You got something pretty unique on your life as well. God's going to bless you. Just lift your hands. Say, God, touch me tonight in a way I've never been touched before. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, just touch this lady. give her such a strong anointing on her right now. Let the glory of God just come upon her from head to foot right now. Let the glory of God just fill her right now in Jesus' awesome name. In Jesus' awesome name. Oh, she really got it.
You pushed her down. Yep, we can sure see that.
Here we are. We've got the three stooges lying on the floor here. Larry, Curly, and Mo. How are you two doing? Let me pray for you two. Seems like you yawned in my meeting. A guy fell asleep in my meeting once. I just walked up, got my bottle of water, went up to him and just went. Psh. Then I found out he was a shift worker. I felt so bad. So that leave, they might as well sleep through the meeting. That's fine. Well, lift your hands, join hands. Are you a married couple? Or just, oh, good. I just didn't see any rings, so I was just wondering. They're at home. What fat lot of good is that? I'm just teasing you. I'm teasing you. What are you doing sitting down? Come and help me. My dear wife. Isn't she a beautiful woman, this one? Holy Ghost touches her in weird ways, but I have had to get used to it. She shakes, she rattles, she rolls. And I think, my God. Now they're seeing you do this all over the world. Those watching on webcam, she's not out of the nut house. She's a genuine, bona fide woman of God. How you feeling there, sir? Good. Sorry, folks. Anyway, we're just having a nice little talk here. Just lift your hands. Just say, God, touch me. Well, he will right now. Bye-bye. I say, is this revival? No, people have been open to God and God touching him. Yes, yes, it is. Doesn't matter what revival I mean you go to. I'm sure a lot of you have been to many of them. It's all the same sort of stuff. Sometimes it's more intensified. Sometimes the whole place is wild. Other times, like tonight, was a bit wild before. It's gone a bit quiet, but that's okay. We can be quiet at times, can't we? Come here, sir. You look like a nice man. Is that your wife? I'm glad it is. It'd be a bit funny sitting next to her if he wasn't. Come, wife. Sorry, what is your name? Aris. Ara, that's a nice name. And you're Michael. Ara. And Michael, lift your hands just lift your hands. Thank you for them. Let's stretch your hands towards them, friends. Touch them with the power of God right now. Let that anointing go through them, God. Bless them, God, in Jesus' name. God's got a few surprises coming up for you in your married life. Good surprises. And it's going to mightily bless you. I can feel it. Oopsie-daisy. Typical husband, too worried about his wife and... Well, it's coming. There it is. Look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. Ooh. Now. Ooh. In Jesus' name. Well, he's a marvelous God. Just wait on him for a few minutes. Jesus, only 9 o'clock. We're doing well. He's a wonderful God. Do you believe that? Good. I do too. Misty. Here we go. All this row. Can you all go out the front, please? All of you. Are you all friends and family, are you? Oh, you're all family. Wonderful. Are they all your kids? That's all right. How are we going to do this? Perhaps you people on the second row, if we can just keep coming, just get rid of these rows. Sorry, folks. Just wait a while and a few of the helpers will just get rid of the... In a minute, before we close, I'm going to lay hands on everybody in here tonight. I felt it earlier in the meeting, I should just lay hands on everybody. Just to impart to you God's going to just flow through you. Oh. Remember, it's important if you fall under the power of God, stay there until the presence of God lifts off you. Just come a little bit closer. That's it, just there like that. Now I want you to believe God's going to touch you like he's never touched you before. If you've never experienced God before, open right up to him. Don't fight me. Don't think, I want God but my way. No, no. Open right up. Let him touch you. You feel wobbly? Well, feel wobbly. If you feel like you don't feel like falling, well, stand. Who cares? Just receive. Just lift your hands now. Close your eyes. Say, Jesus, touch me. Touch this wonderful family now. Some of you are just going to be filled with joy. You're going to just feel like laughing. Breathe upon them, Lord. Breathe upon them. Bye-bye. Breathe upon them. Open up, open up, open, 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 open. Oh, you're resisting just a little bit. You, come on, open up. What do you mean, open up? Open up your soul. The annoying is, that's right. I start to feel it going in my hand now. Well, I can feel it going into your heart now. There it goes. You took yourself out of there again. Don't be nervous. They're all nice people in here. Is this new to you? Are you used to this? So why don't you just take the lot then? You don't know how to? Fire! Thank you, Jesus. No, you're a nice girl. You're a nice lady. I'm just having a tease. Touch your Lord Jesus. Touch the mum, Lord Jesus Christ, with the power of God right now. In Jesus' awesome name, let those hands burn in fire to bring healing and deliverance to many people in Jesus' name. The power and the fire of God. Oh, just look to Jesus right now. Look to him in that realm. Look to him in that realm in Jesus' name. Now. 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 Joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, 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 joy. Keep filling the Lord. Keep filling the Lord. Keep filling the Lord. Keep filling the Lord. Mantel, you participate, friends. That spirit of joy will hit me out there if you want it. Jesus, Jesus. You two girls have got it too. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She's having a good old time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joy, 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 joy. Let her be filled. Thank you, Father, for her. Thank you for her. Thank you for her. That's a good one. You're stuck. She's stuck on the ground. She can't get up. That's called the weight of God, the glory of God. And she thinks it's funny. Fire! You nearly took it then. You nearly took it. Oh, gamanda la beji gamanzo gamanda gamande. Rita kaba brote de vestis tis together garamandrando la vesti. Where are you going? Stay there. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Stick him to the floor, Lord. Stick around for a while. Stick around for a while. What's she trying to do? Fire of God in her. Fire of God. Fire. In that almighty name of Jesus, come here. You're a lovely man. You got a great spirit. You're just about to be plastered in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're very open. He wants to plaster you. He wants to absolutely, is that, I don't know, in Australia, it means he wants to really zap you, a big one. You've got a lot of people to minister over these next 6 months, and you need a good zapping of the Holy Ghost. So he's putting it in you now. Wow, I felt that. You got a few people stuck to the floor. That's wonderful. And she thinks it's funny. Now she's going for it. I told you, Larry, Curly, and Moe.
Okay. Oh. Oh.
Oh. He's out to it. He's really out to it. He looks like he's been on the binge all night, yeah. He's gone. Well and truly gone. Pastors need to be touched. Oh, help, but just behind him. Just touch, my dear, wonderful brother. Just lift your hands as you do the power of God. He's just going to, you already got it. In Jesus' mighty name, I just release it over you right now. Oof. Well caught there. He was heading for the chairs. What a marvelous God. She's having a nice time. It's funny. Come, God wants to get these people who are helping catching, they need a good bless. Yeah. Oh, goodness me. You're going to get drunk, totally drunk tonight. You've got such a great, great, great ministry ahead of you. You have, I'm serious. And God just wants you to get so full of the new wine tonight. He wants you to be so intoxicated, because in that he's going to give you a lot of revelation in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I can feel like this glory build up in the spirit realm. And it's like this fireball building up. And any second now, a lightning bolt of Christ is going to come out of that cloud and knock you straight in the head. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Fire. He's out to it. It fascinates me. I wish we had a camera on their faces here. You could just see some of their faces. It's quite fascinating. What a marvelous God. Oh, you brought the web. You can do that, can you? Thank you, Jesus. Is that one going on? Which is the webcam one? That one? That one. You people watching by webcam, just stretch your hands towards that camera up there. Is it on? Yeah, obviously. In Jesus' name. All those watching by webcam, be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Be healed. Be filled with the power of God right now. You've got sickness in your body, be healed. You need to be the joy of the Lord. Let the power of God come upon them now and release them, God. Let that anointing, that same anointing in this place, let it travel through those cameras, through those wires. Whatever it goes, just put into those homes right now. Let the people be having glory times right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What? All right. That's the way it goes. We get reports from the last couple of meetings that people have been hit with the power of God just watching it on webcam, because they're emailing me and telling me God can do it. Touching people. People just falling down in the land rooms under the power of God as they're watching on their computer screens. See, there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. And we can all receive it. Meanings like this, I do too, we like to watch. But sometimes we take ourselves out of the Spirit by watching, where really we could be receiving it right in our seats. It can be. So you watch, but you receive at the same time. That's the way it goes. Breathe upon them, Jesus. Breathe upon them. Mighty Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good to hear what people are happening, because you can only just hear it. People on webcam wouldn't hear anything. We got a few people stuck. She can't get over the fact she's stuck. She's having a glory time. She's stuck. That gentleman right at the back, would you come in that mustardy shirt? Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you, sir. That was a long way down. You're going to be touched by... No worries, mate. Yeah, you're going to be touched by God pretty powerfully. You need a good touch of God. Things have been a bit tough lately for you, but I tell you what, it's all coming through for you, man. God absolutely loves you. All you got to do is respond to Him. Fire. There it is. It's going to go right through you. Let it go right through you. Don't be afraid of it. Just let it go. Oh, that's the way. He's going to have such a glory time, and God's going to release all that tension from you, sir. All that stress, all that anxiety of, it's all going, it's all going, it's all going. It's all going, it's all going, it's all going, it's all going. That's funny. Oh, God is so good. Yabba dabba doo. Here, too, could you come? The dear pastor, and is this your wife? Or yes, come, wife. Thank you. Come out here. See, pastors need the touch of God, too. He's already got the touch of God, but I mean, they need to be refreshed. Who knows? That revival will break out in your church, man. It will. Just lift your hands. Just touch this wonderful couple with the glory. Touch them with the fire right now. They love you with all their hearts, Lord. They devoted their life to the gospel. And I just thank you. It's going to get bigger and brighter for them. You're going to add people to them, Lord Jesus Christ. If you commit yourself to revival, you watch what God's going to do. You just watch what He's going to do. Power of God, come upon them right now. And Jesus... Oh, there it is. Phew. There it is. Whatever's wrong, God's healing you too. Just can feel a healing anointing. Going right in. The fire of God. What a wonder, Mr. Youth Pastor, Mr. Youth Leader, come. You'll build a great youth group, man. But build it in the fire of God. You might as well. Your whole church is going that way. Kingston Youth, Kingston Fire. Jesus, raise this man up to see hundreds and hundreds of young people come to Jesus Christ and discipled in the ways of God. Touch him, Jesus, and give him a touch of the Holy Ghost and fire right now. Don't expect God to come upon you like you used to. Open yourself right up and say, I'm willing for you to touch me however you want, God. His secret is yielding. Father, touch him. I pray that the anointing that's on my life, that you'll impart it into him and give it to him, God, in Jesus' mighty name. I believe that when I lay hands upon him, he'll receive an impartation from my gifting that's going to add to what he has in Jesus' mighty name. He'll suddenly be able to move in the word of knowledge gift. He'll be able to have an understanding of the things of the Spirit. And he'll have a hunger in the word of God to learn and develop more. I thank you for him, Lord Jesus Christ. I release that into him now in Jesus' mighty name. Look to God, look to God, look to God, look to God. That impartation comes into you now. I give it to you now in Jesus' name. Jeez, he got that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what I want to do. I really want to lay hands, even if I've already laid hands on you. You people stay under the power here. But how can we do it? I've got to lay hands on everything that's moving here. Can we just spend a couple of minutes, if all you people can just go sit in this section, perhaps if four or five guys can just move all these chairs out, we'll get you to line up, or just all these middle chairs. Please don't go home. I really just want to lay my hands upon your heads. So I'll just lead in a worship for a couple of minutes so we can all just concentrate on Jesus as that's been done.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, and blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. Holy Spirit, let your presence fall.
Just remember, revival meetings are this Tuesday at 6:30 and this Wednesday and Friday and Saturday. Only 2 days won't be on this week, and that's Monday and Thursday. Please come. Please get on the phone to your friends. Please bring them along.
Let your presence fall. We have time in this place to worship the Lord.
Then if the helpers could just begin to line people up, just cooperate with the helpers, just straight lines and maybe an 8-foot gap and then another line
to worship the Lord. Holy Spirit, let your power fall. Holy Spirit, let your power fall. We have time in this place to worship the Lord. We have time to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now just expect to receive. There's helpers behind you. We just want to fill you with the anointing of God. Listen, you could be the next Catherine Kuhlman, great healing event. You could be the next Billy Graham. You could be the next Billy Sunday. You could be the next Smith Wigglesworth. You could be the next successful businesswoman or man. You could be touched by God. And in that state of expectation in God, He can give you creative ideas. It's not about just falling down. That's the answer. Let's just get a bit of carpet now and fall down. It's about receiving. Why does God put us on the floor? Because sometimes it's the only way He can speak to us. Sometimes it's to break our pride because we don't like that sort of stuff. And God's in the habit of doing things we don't like. What our flesh doesn't like. So would you just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I'm going to receive it tonight. And if you happen to fall down, stay down. And the time you know to get up is you'll feel the presence of God lift off you. Jesus. Jesus. Now just touch all these wonderful people right now. Right now. God's just draining it all out of you now. Jesus. Oh, just open up, open up, open up. It'll make my job a lot easier, folks, if you just open right up. Some of you wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about, but just do your best to open up. That's it. That anointing's come on to you now. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. That's right. When I take my hand off you, keep on with what the Holy Spirit's put into you. Thank you for this man, Lord Jesus Christ. You've come to set the captive free, to fill them with great joy. Touch. Oh, God, let it go through you, sir. Just get rid of all that tension. All that tension to go. Just receive. I'm going to. Jesus. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Sorry. Thank you, Lord. Open right up, friends. Just lift your hands. I'm going to come through quickly here. Touch them all, Lord Jesus Christ. Let the fire of God, let the power of God just come upon them. Touch this wonderful man. You touched him earlier. Now, touch him again. Touch him. Touch. 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 Touched. Thank you. Oh, touched. 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 I said touched. Touched. Good catch. Sorry, I'll try and slow it down. I get this fast anointing come on me, I've got to go for it. Sounds a silly thing to say. But you're doing a great job there, catches. That was a very good catch. Like a rugby. That's good. Touched. Oh. Touched. Touched. Oh. Oh, you're very open. Touch, 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 touch. Young man's got the call of God in his life. He's going to go to the nations. You're going to go to the nations, young man. You're going to be a powerful evangelist. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Keep your life pure. Keep it straight. Keep it clean. It already is, actually. You got, I can see in your heart. You got a very clean heart for a young man your age. Keep it clean. Keep it pure.
Keep obedient to your parents. That's what the young people love to hear. Honor them and you'll have a good long life. By the time you're 20, you'll be full-time ministry. Is that your kid playing the drums? Ah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're thinning out. Just come a little bit closer. Up the front there. See, some people are crying. Some people are just peaceful. Some people are shaking. You reckon up the front, guys? I just pray for these two. Then if all the other ones who've come for prayer, if you'd like to somehow make your way to the front, but don't touch any of the bodies if that's possible. So with those ones at the back there, if you'd like just to come up to the front. I don't want to miss anybody out here. We're just running out of room here, that's all. If I can have a deacon just helping them down the front. Father, thank you for these wonderful ladies that you're just touching with the power of God. Just lift your hands, dear lady. It's just a sign of international. It's a sign of surrender to God.
You in his control. That's it. Let it get through.
Thank you for this young man. He's just about to be hit with the power of God. Thank you, dear Lord, just for touching him. I release it into him and put it into him now. You've got a very intelligent mind. Be an effective ministry. We've got to learn to operate from down here. Drop down there. Drop down there. So in your heart, just drop. In your head, just drop down here. I'm trying to teach you something. Often intelligent people find hard to receive. Is that it at the back here? Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. If I could have a few helpers here, that'd be marvelous. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people. Touch them with the power of God. Just lift your hands, ladies. Say, Jesus, touch me. With the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. You're a wonderful lady. Well done, guys. Look at me. You are a wonderful lady. And see, the power of God's in my eyes, and I give it to you now. It's yours. It's yours. Holy Ghost, Bible says in John 2, I think it is, that you hear the sound of the wind, you see the effects of the wind blowing in the trees, But you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. We've got a sway. And oftentimes when you have hands laid upon you or when you're experiencing the presence of God, you feel this swaying in your spirit. You feel this swaying. That's a sure sign the Holy Ghost is on you. And you don't know where it's going. You don't know if you're going down, sideways, frontways. You just got to go with Him. And if you go with Him, He does something in your spirit. He just does something in your spirit. It just does something in your spirit.
What?
It just does something. They can be as scared as they like. Thank you for this lovely lady. You're going to receive from God tonight. Just close your eyes and say, God, I will receive. I will let that power flow through my body. Because I want to be like Jesus. I want to be filled with your fire. All right, go through it now. Marvelous. Oof, it's a bit close. Doing a great job there, guys. Have I missed out anybody? Everybody else is okay? Here we go. The giggling Gerties are off again. These are powerful meetings, I'm telling you. Remember, Tuesday and Wednesday, 6:30. Friday and Saturday. I've cancelled my trip to Atlanta. They know now. And they're not too happy with me, actually. But I can't help that. I just felt God say, stay on. Got to obey God. I feel sorry that I've let them down, but I'd rather let them down than the Holy Ghost, I tell you. Marvelous God, marvelous God, marvelous God. This is building up, friends, I'm telling you. Well, it's been building up for you for 2 weeks, but it's building a momentum again. This morning was very different, wasn't it? A lot of words of knowledge on healing, and people were testifying how God begun their healing or healed them right there and then. We never take these things for granted. Some of us have been brought up in it. I was brought up with a grandfather who used to pull, you know, got people out of wheelchairs and all sorts of miracles. So I was brought up in Pentecost. And it's very easy to become familiar with it. And I see this sort of stuff wherever I go, everywhere. It's been happening since the 80s. And I always say to God, please don't let me get familiar with this. Please don't let me just think, oh, well, another group have fallen down and laugh. Help me to see what you're doing, Jesus. You're changing people. And years later, I'm on Facebook, a thing called Facebook now, and the amount of people who want to confirm me as their friend are people who were touched mightily under my ministry in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, 90s, and saying, is that you, Steve? Because I've grown old and fat now. I was touched mightily in one of your crusades, remember? You led me to Jesus, I was healed under your ministry. Man, it does my heart good. Because sometimes you just feel like, what do I really do for you, God? What do I really do? Then when you hear testimonies coming back like that, it doesn't make you feel, oh, I'm pretty good. It just makes you feel like you really are serving Jesus. This stuff really works. Because in this sort of ministry, you get a lot of flack. You get a lot of people who don't like you. And they're always trying to dig some dirt up about you. And believe it or not, I'm very sensitive. I don't like people not... I mean, how many of you love to have people not liking you and talking against you? It's horrible, isn't it? But we do that. And I've vowed I won't do it to anybody. But it happens. And so I've got to... God's been toughening up my heart. Not to rebel and react to people, but to say, yeah, hold my peace and keep going for God. Say what you like. You can be miserable old so-and-sos, and I'll just go ahead and bring revival. You've got to have that attitude in life, friends, or she'll sink. God's so good. He is so good. I do have CDs with this sort of music on my CDs. I've got 4-pack, and I've got my CDs there that do sell quite well. You're welcome to have a look at them. They're downstairs. And it'd be good if you did that. And if you're under the power of God, which a lot of you are, you stay there. But we close the meeting, but you're welcome to stay here in the presence of God. If you can come back Tuesday, I know I've said it a lot of times, but I know some people forget. After all the announcement we did this morning, there's still people came up to me after and said, have we got meetings during the week? I was saying, hello. But that's okay. Sometimes we just get caught up with other things in the meeting. So when's the next meeting on, folks? What time? And then what? Is it Thursday? No, Wednesday. That's right. You're right. Then Friday, then Saturday. I'll tell you, you just bring things. Some of you have got gifts on your life to bring people and attract people. Use your gifts to bring get everybody here, I'm telling you. We want to see a revival start that's going to touch thousands. And this is a great start. This really is. If the weather wasn't bad today, we would have had a lot more here tonight. But you are here. And there's a good crowd here tonight, actually. You're good people. Bless you. Do you want to close it, Wendy, or just close it? You're right? Okay. Vaughn will be back next week. That's for those in this church and those who are visitors. He's the pastor of this church. Been away and no doubt having a great time in conventions and crusades in India. So he'll be back here. I suppose he'll be back Saturday. I don't know if he'll be here or not. He might be asleep, but knowing him, I think he'll be here. Just lift your hands. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing here, God. You're an amazing God. That many of these people right now, they're on the floor. Not because they were pushed over by a man. Not because they were manipulated. Because the presence of God touched them. And they're so hungry. They're still out there, down on the floor, receiving from God. And I thank you for all these wonderful people. Raise them up. They've all got powerful destinies in you. Raise them up. Everyone watching by webcam, raise them up, Lord. Raise them up in power, in the Holy Ghost. Touch everybody here, God. Let us go out with your blessing. Give everybody a safe journey home, God. And please stir up the hearts of people to come back during the week, God. Not just because I've given up another ministry to do this. It's irrelevant, Lord. Because I'm convinced God's wanting to do something right here in Kingston. We thank you for it, Jesus. We bless these wonderful people. Good night.